This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of Mac's List. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resumes help more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. You know you need a new job, but you don't do anything about it. Does this sound like you? Ursina Teuscher, PhD, is here to talk about how to beat procrastination in your job search. Dr. Teuscher is a licensed career counselor with a doctorate in applied psychology. She helps her clients make big decisions, find clarity about values, and achieve goals. And she joins us from Portland, Oregon. Ursina, let's start with a really basic question. Why do people procrastinate during a job search?
Yeah, there are, in fact, so many reasons why we do procrastinate. And I think job search is one of those tasks that could offer a multitude of reasons to procrastinate, actually. Because it's, for one, it's usually a big kind of project, if you can even call it that. It's a huge task. It's sometimes very ill-defined task. And it's also psychologically, you know, fraught. It's for most people filled with maybe self-doubt, or at the very least, you're going to feel like you're going to be judged, and it's not pleasant for most people. So I think in that task, there can be so many reasons. And I think that holds in general for procrastination, is that there can be a lot of reasons to procrastinate, and it helps to figure out what in particular it is that's making it hard to then be able to tackle that.
Is there something about job search in particular that makes people more likely to procrastinate when it comes time to look for a new job or leave a company?
Yeah, definitely. I think it feels like a scary task, but I do think that in reality, what's more difficult is that it's oftentimes not clear what you need to do. There could be so many things that you could be doing, and that itself, the not being clear about what you need to do, and also not clear about how much you need to do, is, I think, what makes it particularly difficult to procrastinate with that task, even though it's, for most people, a very important task too.
What about people, Ursina, who might be mid-career or even further along in their career, and they've changed jobs before, so they have a understanding of what's involved in sending out applications, preparing for interviews, talking to employers? Why does someone who has that kind of experience procrastinate?
In that case, too, maybe a lack of feeling motivated to do it, and feeling that you should get inspired to look for a new job before you start looking for it. So I think there could still be different reasons there. But I also, somebody who knows exactly what they have to do might actually procrastinate less. That is my guess, but definitely there. It's still also the kind of task where you don't have a deadline usually, and so that too makes it harder to get started.
In your coaching practice, you work with so many job seekers, Ursina. Is procrastination something that just pops up occasionally among your clients, or is it a widespread problem not only among your clients but in with job seekers in general?
I think it is really a widespread problem, and one that maybe people are not even quite aware of, that either that they're having it, because I think also the worst procrastination happens when we're not aware that we're doing it. But also, it's maybe not something that people think they could get help with. It's not something that they usually, most people who get in touch with me are not looking for procrastination coaching. They're looking for career coaching. So they're not usually aware that that's something that could be fixed or that they could work on. But when we do bring it up, or when it comes up as a problem, because they're saying that they're not maybe getting around to doing the things that they wanted to do, it usually turns out that it is a big problem for almost everybody I talk to.
I'm intrigued by that point you made a moment ago, that people might be procrastinating, but not even be aware of it. What are examples or signs of procrastination that a job seeker might not be aware that they're engaging in?
Yeah, there might be things that are actually things we're doing that kind of are disguised as productivity too, that we might be doing all the other tasks that except the one we really should be doing, right? Or we might just not do anything and get kind of paralyzed about that. And that if you're not aware that you're doing it, you might also not realize how much time you're spending with not doing the task that you actually want to do. And just getting a better awareness of that, of when it happens and what happens instead, it can help us figure out how to fix that too.
I want to talk about how to beat procrastination, but just one more question about this example of people procrastinating but not being aware of it. What are examples specifically of activities that people might be engaging in that might appear to be productive, but ultimately are a way of avoiding looking for work?
Yeah, there could be, for example, I would say often tasks that don't have those characteristics that I just talked about when we talked about job search as a big project, things that have a deadline or that have that are right in your face, like for example answering emails, those are things that you feel like you have to do because it's someone basically asking for your help or your answer, and it's right in your face and you do it. You could do it all day long, right? Or you could be on Facebook all day long because there's always something happening. And you might not realize how much you're doing it and how much time you're spending with that because it feels like you're being busy. Maybe Facebook doesn't feel like you're being busy, but if you're browsing other things that are relevant for your work in some way or being on LinkedIn and researching things, those can feel like you're being productive. And sometimes they are what you actually need to be doing, but sometimes they are a way of avoiding what you know you actually need to be doing next.
Well, let's talk about how to stop procrastination. How do you recommend getting started, Ursina?
I would get started by actually figuring out why you are doing it. And I also want to give you an example here because with job search, there could be, let's say you have a task that you know that you want to do, but it's really hard for you. Like, for example, you might really dislike writing to people to connect with them on LinkedIn. And that feels so hard that you're not doing it. If you realize that that's the reason you're not doing it, that you know what you need to do, but it's too hard, the fix would be different than if you don't know what you need to do next. So if, for example, if you find out that your task is really hard or really kind of painful in some ways, then you might need to find ways to make the task easier or get yourself a better reward afterwards. Those can be tricks to work with that are different from if you don't know what you need to do next, then you need to define that task better and really break it down more and figure out what you even need to do next.
Do you recommend starting with the most unpleasant tasks of all? I think people do have a good sense of what they like and don't like. Is it best to start with the thing that you dread the most?
That is a really good question that I sometimes ask the clients themselves because I think they know what some people need to start with the most difficult. Others need to ease into things. And you can even try both. If one doesn't work, try the other one. But I think both can be a really good idea. And you may have an intuition in the moment what feels easier or what feels more likely to be successful.
I can imagine a listener wondering, well, how do I figure that out? Is it just something you have to do? And what signs should you look for? Because if the task is unpleasant, it's going to be hard to tackle. So how do you decide which camp you fall into, Ursina?
Almost always with the kinds of people I work with, the task is not actually that unpleasant when you think about it. It may be boring or it may be, it's not at least for most clients I work with, they're not in physically painful jobs. They, they dread the tasks for other reasons that are not really directly related to the task. And so in general, I find it more helpful to really figure out what the task is and get a lot of clarity on that and break it down into smaller chunks and treat it as actual work where it's okay if it's a little bit unpleasant. You just do it anyway. Most people are okay with that when it comes to work. I think it is actually, it can be a trap to try to get, to think that you have to be inspired or excited about a task. That's not necessary, right? You can just do it. And most tasks are kind of okay to do once you figure out what you need to do. And so I think in general, for almost all cases, it's not a question of getting the task to be more pleasant.
Well, let's pause there. Ursina, I want to take a quick break. Stay with us. When we come back, Dr. Ursina Teuscher will continue to share her advice on how to beat procrastination in your job search. Are you procrastinating about updating your resume? Here's an easy way to get started. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. A professional writer at Top Resume will look at your resume for free. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. You'll get tips you can use to fix your resume yourself, or you can hire Top Resume to do it for you. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Dr. Ursina Teuscher. She's a licensed career counselor with a doctorate in applied psychology. Ursina helps her clients make big decisions, find clarity about values, and achieve goals. And she joins us from Portland, Oregon. Now, Ursina, before the break, we were talking about how to beat procrastination in your job search. And you were making the point that a great way to get started is to break things down into tasks, simple tasks, and then treat the thing that you perhaps have been dreading as just another chore. Why do you find that works with your clients? What is it about that approach that makes it effective?
I think it makes it very approachable and takes some of the, it kind of takes it down a notch, if you will. It makes it less about the bigger picture and the giant task, and it also takes some of the self doubting out of it, because you know you can do the very next step, even if that very next step is maybe actually finding out what the next step is. Maybe you need to talk to a friend first and get some ideas of what you could be doing next if you're not sure what to do about your job search, for example. And that's okay. That is a next step, and that could be your next task. And yeah, it seems to work a lot better than to think about a big goal or a big project which you feel like you will be evaluated afterwards on.
And if it is a big project, there are multiple steps, and it's going to take some time, perhaps over the course of a couple of days. How do you recommend someone manage that? Should they try to create some big plan that with timetables and color-coded schedules or lists, or what do you find works with the clients that you coach?
That could work. And that's also something that I usually check in with my clients to see what matches their style. So some people actually love to have those kinds of schedules and a plan and color coding and post-it notes. And that, if that works, if that's a motivating thing, also having checkboxes and stuff, that's great. And for other people, it's enough to have a kind of bigger, have a good idea of where things are going eventually, and then just take it one step at a time. And so that is something that, again, there people usually know what works best for them if they see that those are options that we could take.
And you mentioned earlier in the first segment that sometimes people procrastinate because they don't know how to do a task. Maybe they haven't done a job search, for example, in some time. Maybe they're early in their career and sending out applications and and preparing for interviews is brand new to them. How important is it, Ursina, to get educated when as a way to beat procrastination? Is that a factor that a listener should consider?
I think that is important. Yeah, and maybe that holds for other tasks too. You need to know that you are on the right track before getting started. And that can sometimes mean that you realize that there is no one right way to do it, which is probably what I would think about job search is the case there. There are many ways to do it, but you need to have enough confidence by knowing that what you're doing makes sense, right? Even if maybe one task is guaranteed to pay off, you need to know that what you're doing could potentially pay off and it's the right way to spend your time. I think that is an important part to figure that out.
Another strategy I know you recommend is to set smaller goals. And you talked about this earlier, you know, breaking things down into parts. Can you give us an example of what a smaller goal might look like?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's actually something more to be said than just to break it down. I think oftentimes it's also important to actually make the goal smaller. Like, as in, I'm going to give you an example of a client who was saying that he needed to study more because all of his classmates were studying 8 to 12 hours a day. And I would bet a lot of money that actually none of his classmates are studying 8 to 12 hours a day, according to my definition of studying, at least. And I was telling him that and asking him, look, how much are you studying right now? And how little could you do that would still be an improvement over that? And that would feel like a realistic time per day that you could do. And he realized that actually that may be maybe about 2 hours a day. That's what he would be confident that he could do. And if he did that, it would be so much better than what he was doing at the moment. Right? And the same happened to me with a job search client who realized that if he just did even 3/4 of an hour each day from Monday to Thursday, even only, that would be a lot more than what he was currently doing. And that would get him a lot further than, you know, or would get him far enough, basically, eventually, if he kept doing that. And so that can be a nice, I think that can be important to take the goals really down from a probably unrealistic idea.
What stops people from setting those more realistic, smaller goals? Why do they think that they need to study 8 to 12 hours a day or pursue some other unrealistic goal?
I think a part comes really from comparing ourselves to people who don't even actually exist. Like we see our coworkers maybe and think that they are productive all day long, and the truth is they're probably not. Everybody is wasting a lot of time actually, and you can get pretty far in life if you just work not that much per day, but you do it consistently with good habits. You can actually end up surprisingly productive over an extended period of time. Whereas we can spend so much time not being productive and thinking we should be and feeling guilty about it. And then at the end of the day, being exhausted from all the work we haven't even done. And that, I think, that happens so much more and to so many more people that I think we're not aware that we're not the only ones who are doing that.
In setting your smaller goals, Ursina, how can you be sure you're doing enough to move ahead, but not doing too much? How do you strike that balance?
Yeah, and that is a tough one because you don't know exactly. You don't know if it will be enough. I think where I would like to start is to find out what the best quantity is for you, like as an individual, you may have your own limit. Like I have my own limit as to how productive I can be. And even if I wish I could do more, I need to be realistic with that and realize that over a long period of time, the best I can do is maybe doing 2 hours of really focused work. And that is my personal best, and that's my sustainable kind of time that I can do. And it doesn't matter how much you know, would be enough. Because enough for what, right? Enough to write a book in a month? No, it's not enough for that. But is it enough to write a book over 3 years? Then maybe it's enough. So that is something we need to define each by ourselves and not fall into the trap of thinking that there is a threshold that's the same for everybody or that we need to fulfill in order to be okay.
In our first segment, you touched a little bit about the sources of procrastination. Talk more about that. Why is it important to understand what's causing your procrastination, what the source is?
Well, it's important because you might otherwise try to fix something that's either not necessary that you fix it. Like, for example, you might think that you need to make a task more pleasant when you don't have to, or you might try to fix something that you can't. Or you may also find, if you know what's tripping you up, you might find a very easy fix for that. For example, you might just have to set an alarm clock and then start working at that time. That could be a very easy fix that might work if you realize that your lunch break is longer than you intended it to be.
Well, it's been a great conversation. Now, tell us what's next for you.
Well, I have, for years, I've been helping people make big decisions, like both in career and personal life that are life-changing and that are important to think through. But as I have found, as I worked with people on these bigger decisions, I found that they often have trouble aligning their daily choices to reach those big goals. Like procrastination is such an example that trips people up and keeps them from reaching their big goals. And supporting people with those daily choices is a really exciting challenge for me, and I'd love to do more of that in the future because there are so many helpful ideas and findings to draw on from neuroscience and behavioral economics and things like choice architecture that really help us create the kind of environment for ourselves that makes things easier that we really want to do. And so I hope to do more of that as time goes on.
Well, terrific. I know listeners can learn more about you and your services and your work by visiting teuscher-coaching.com. I will be sure to include that URL in the show notes as well. Now, Ursina, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about how to beat procrastination in your job search?
I would say, after figuring out what's tripping you up, I would say creating a friendlier kind of task structure for yourself, or a friendly schedule that you find that you can stick to, would be my number one advice, and one that I think that helps for most people, even if the obstacles are different. I would say for most people, giving yourself smaller tasks and better rewards is the way to go, and making your life easier rather than trying to work harder. That would be my number one advice.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/newsletters. Again, that's maxlist.org/newsletters. Next week, our guest will be Kwan Siegel. She's a human capital consultant and the founder of I See A Way. It's a career coaching company for international students and immigrants in the U.S. Switching careers is never easy, but mentors can help you understand your new industry, introduce you to employers, and help you translate your skills for hiring managers. But how do you find someone like this? Join us next week when Kwan Siegel and I talk about how to find mentors for a career pivot. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job. This show is produced by Max List. Susan Thornton Huff schedules our guests and writes our newsletters. Lisa Kinsland Barry Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Will Watts. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts, and our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.